Well, if you look at the current Lattice QCD data for the data bus, then you can see it almost cover all possible outcomes. I only list 5 groups, okay? And then you can see these 3 groups say see the signal, and these two groups say there's no signal. And then for these 3 groups, some say negative priority, and one group says positive priority. So at first sight, okay, this looks contradicting. Okay. But if you yeah. Excuse me.
But also because of the dependence on time, things get better with time.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to point out. Okay. If you look, take a closer look.
As the experimental evidence is weakened, the signal has gone from yes to no.
Well, we hope can say give a definite answer before the experiment. That's our goal. Okay. Yeah. So if we take a closer look to the data, then in fact you will find the results are not contradicting to each other. In fact, they are quite consistent. Okay. So I will come back to this transparency later at the end of the talk and see if I can convince you, okay, all the data in fact are consistent. Okay.
Oh, then that yes and no are also consistent in each other?
Yes, yes. If you look at the, yes and no, of course, not consistent with each other. But if you look at the data, okay, they're consistent. But just the way they interpret the data, or limited by, say, the quad masses, okay, they have used, then they may infer an answer. They may get a different answers, okay? So, because all the results relies on Kao extrapolation, okay? Yeah. So
wasn't there a recent paper of you also in 2005?
Yes.
Not on the list.
Sorry, it should be included. Yeah, it will be included at the end. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, it should be included. Okay. Okay. Let me come back to the this is outline of my talk. Okay. First, I will recall some basic facts of the pentacore, and then I'll discuss to construct the interpolating operator for data bus. And I briefly outline the quark propagators, the computation of quark propagators with exact Kao's image. And then I will go to the result of the mass spectrum of the 3x3 correlation matrix. And then I try to distinguish the KN scattering states from the mass spectrum of this 3x3 correlation matrix. Finally, I will make a summary and then make some concluding remarks. And then I'll come back to the previous transference, showing all the different data, and then see if I can give you a good explanation why all these data are consistent.
I have a question. Is the exact chiral symmetry, is that important for
I think it would become crucial when we go to small quark mass. And then for the pentacore, I think Kao's image or the small quark mass play an important role, okay, as we will see. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now, so first I review some basic facts of pentacore. So in January 2003, labs at Spring 8 report the observation of exotic baryon data plus 1540 with the quantum number of K plus N. And later, the data plus has been confirmed by many experimental groups. The remarkable feature of data plus is the strangeness is plus 1, and that implies the mineral core content is a UDUDS bar. Its decay width is very narrow, it's less than 10 or 20 MeV, but its mass is about 105 MeV above the KN threshold. But the data bus has not been observed in all Heinrichs experiments, all these collider experiments. So this is a puzzle. So at this moment, the experimental situation is not so clear, okay? We are still waiting for the high statistic experiments from, say, JLab, okay? So.
There was a paper that came out about a week ago, which yeah. is very clear.
Which paper?
It's the collider experiment.
Correct.
10 sigma, nothing there.
Well, depends on the production mechanism, okay?
What
if the production,
clear,
yeah, yeah, what they say is clear, okay? But it's what is not clear is the how data was can be produced, okay? If for the collider experiment, if you expect, say, data bar data, then it seems hard to create such a state, okay? For the collider experiment. So far, all the experiment, they have positive evidence is for the photo production experiments. Pardon?
They're all rather poor experiments.
Just dubious. Yeah, of course, that should be clarified.
All the good experiments don't see it, and all the iffy experiments, half the iffy experiments see it.
Yeah, but this is a
lab. I think plenty of people want to any sum of money that's not there, so I have an interest in it.
Okay.
How much you worry? Nobody will take
me. Maybe it turns out to be there's no signal, okay, after this high statistic experiment of the JLab comes out, okay, that we don't know, okay, but yeah, so. But if you look at the last paper of Ken Hicks, okay, he shows rather clear peep, okay, of their data, of half of their data, okay. So, but if you think they are poor experiments, then that's your viewpoint. Okay. So if there's a data, then they're almost certain there will be other panda clocks, okay. In October 03, okay, NA49 has shown, also observed another exotic baryon, Cascade 1682, which decays to Cascade minus and Pi minus with width is less than 18 MeV, and also the isopunctures. They have minimum pop contents, DS, DS, U bar for the Cascade minus minus. Okay? And then in March 04, H1S Hera observed the data C 3099, which decays to a D star minus P with gamma less than 15 MeV. Its minimum core content is a UD, UDC bar. If this is true, then this is the first exotic baryon with any charm, and implying the existence of other exotic baryons with heavy cores. However, Theta C and Cascade have not been confirmed by any other experimental groups. So now the central theoretical problem is whether the spectrum of QCD possesses the pentacore baryons with the correct quantum number, mass, and the decay widths. Historically, the experimental search for the data pass was motivated by the predictions of Carl Soyton model. This is the outgrowth of the Skirmi model. Even though the Carl Soyton model seems to provide a really close prediction for the mass and the width of data pass, it cannot reproduce all aspects of QCD. So, yeah. So what can lattice QCD do? Okay. So the strategy is to construct an operator which has a good overlap with the pentacork state, and then compute the time correlation function of this operator and extract the masses of the positive and negative priority state. Okay. But the tricky thing is this UD, UDS bar operator, okay, any of this interpolating operator must couple to the hadronic states with the same quantum number. That means also the KN scattering state, even in the quench approximation. Okay. So the problem is how to disentangle the pentacork from the KN scattering states. The strategy is the variation method. Okay. So use n different sources of the pentacork and compute the n by n correlation matrix, and then extract the masses, and then get the eigenvalues, and then extract the masses. Okay. So this is rather standard technique. Okay. Yeah. But the difficult...
So...
We don't need that, right? Because anyway, right?
Right.
Okay,
yeah,
so...
It's
Okay.
So we cause everything, right? So
security.
Okay. Then I just take that off. Okay. If it doesn't, it miss some parts. Okay, that's your fault. So I think it's quite important to construct how to construct an interpolating operator which has a significant overlap with the Banach-Kolb states. And here we need some physics input, okay? Some intuitions, physical intuitions. So I think in this aspect, the model, Jeffrey Wilczek model or Dankok-Dankok anti-Kolb model, seems to capture some of the essential physics, okay, as we will see. Okay. Dankok transforms like a favor anti-triplet, okay, UDDS-US, and it's a spin sinker and Kara anti-triplet. And then pentakolb baryon with light quarks emerge as the Kara sinker. Okay, this is the Dankok-Dankok anti-Kolb, okay, and the favor multiplet. So this is Dankok, Dankok, anti-Kolb. Okay. And then the data is in the anti-Dankok. If the light anti-Kolb is replaced by C bar or B bar, that means I take this away, then only have this left, then the favor multiplet reduced to triplet and anti-sexton. So why Dankok? Okay, why we have to consider that quarks? If you consider the one-going exchange between two light quarks, okay, then the effective interaction can be written as this. And lambda is the color, and sigma is the spin. Okay? And this can be expressed in terms of the exchange operator in favor space, spin space, and the color space. Okay, it's easy to obtain this. And this is because the Fermi statistic. So I can replace the product of PS, PC by PF. Okay, that's how PF comes out here. Okay. And then I look at different representations. Okay. Then you can see, okay, this favor anti-triplet, spin singlet, and then Kara anti-triplet has the lowest energy. Okay, massing compared to other possible representations. Okay? So that means the Dankok is favorable. Okay? This salient features of the Dankok correlation seems to persist. Okay, even at the Hadronic scale where QCD is strongly coupled, even though this consideration is only based on one gluon exchange. Okay. It's easy to construct the Dankok on the lattice. Here, X is the psi index. A, B, C are the color index. And epsilon A, B, C is the complete anti-symmetric symbol. U and B, Kolb fields. Okay. Gamma is the Dirac matrix. And the alpha beta is the Dirac index. Okay. So the Dirac index, this Dirac matrix is anti-symmetric. So that the Dankok transforms layer is scalar or pseudo-scalar. For gamma equal to C gamma 5, and C is the charge contribution operator, then it transforms layers scalar. Okay. For gamma equal to C, it transforms layers pseudo scalar. Yes?
In your operator construction, do you also consider the angular momentum distribution?
Basically,
when you construct the dichroic operator, you can also incorporate the angular momentum.
You mean, I only consider the local dichroic, okay? Local Dankok, that means these two
quarks. That's an assumption.
Yeah.
Your assumption is for the pentakolb, the local operator have more.
If you consider non-local Dankok, of course, it be more complicated. Okay. But I think eventually you just get the same physics.
But he's more or less asking if in your set of operators you'd like to use, if there's also non-local versions, so it's the smear in a sense.
All are local.
So you are using only local, with an assumption that either you overlap with the pentakolb.
Yeah.
That's true. Any theoretical reason?
Well, I think it is simple, okay? Because I have only have to compute one set of quark propagators. Okay, if it's a non-local, then I have to consider, I mean, smear it, or I have to consider, I mean, the compute, some other quark propagators. Okay.
But the problem is under the variational analysis, you can guarantee to it that you can pick out a good state.
Yeah, so
that's a bit of worry.
Yeah, but we can see the data. We can pick up the Penakov state. Okay.
I think also for Wangzhang's original question, angular momentum in the dipole, that's motivated by the Chatfield-Wolfshag.
Yeah, I will come back to discuss this. Okay. Now first, look at this local dipole anti-quark operator. Okay. So that means all quarks are at the same side. Okay. Here for the theta, this is UD S bar. Okay. So I have this C gamma phi transform as a scalar, and then this transform as a pseudo scalar. Okay. And then for the cascade is DS U bar, and theta C is a UD C bar. And yes.
In the JET terminology, these are all good dipoles.
Sure. They only consider the scalar.
So you have one good, one bad.
The reason I have to consider this because if I put this as a C gamma 5, okay, then if I sum over the chi index, then it is just zero. Because dipoles are bosons, okay?
That's because you also want to put it on the same side.
If I put it in the same side, If I put it on different side, then it's possible to have two scalar dipoles.
But isn't that what Jeff
Yes. That's true. As I said, just now at this moment, okay, all calculations haven't been really used the model of GFU check. Okay, have two scalar dipoles at two different sites, yes.
If this is right, what Jeffrey Wojcik said, would you still see with this guy?
I will show you.
Okay.
So here this dipole is a pseudo scalar, and this is pseudo scalar. Okay. Yeah. Now, if from this viewpoint or this picture, okay, can we see what's the priority of beta of this dipole any quark? Okay. Now, if you look at the lowest line state, that means angular momentum zero. Okay. Sure. Then you can see the priority is minus one times minus one because this is pseudo scalar and anti fermion, so it's plus one. Okay. Alternatively, if these two dipoles locate at two different sites, then both dipole operators can be chosen to be scalar. Okay? But then they must anti-symmetric in space. That means the angular momentum has to be all integer. Okay? Then the priority of the lowest line state of this scalar anti-fermion system is minus one times minus one equal plus one. So this is minus one is from the angular momentum, and the minus one is from this anti-fermion. Okay? So you see, this construction and this construction have in theory, you get the same priority, positive. Okay.
But that means that the motivation, you use them as motivation, but you're not really following.
Yeah, not really following.
Something simpler.
Simpler. In order to bypass the problem of say, put them in the same side. Okay, that's the only way to.
But you don't have to put them on the same side.
In fact, I'm thinking of doing not on the same side, see if it comes out green.
In particular, you could do something different at the source than the sink. If you can't afford the inversions, it's perfectly normal to explore different operations in the sink, which costs nothing.
That's true. That's
Isn't experience from other states if you do something?
But in this,
there's not experience with variance. Different operators can have quite significant differences.
It's slightly witchcraft, you know. I would say more slightly.
But in the context of variance, the answer is that
normally good operators for nucleons, which are good operators for negative parity,
No, but if you don't take the best one, do you lose?
You always get a signal, but you may lose factor 10 or something.
10. Oh, okay.
Significantly. Yeah.
But it, so that means that if he sees something go this way, it's self-consistent to assume that he's okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, so now I consider the 3x3 correlation matrix for data paths. Now, these three different operators for data paths, I should spin zero. Okay? O1 is just a new, you see, this is the this part, and then the D, okay, come together, and that is the new key on. And then this is the K on, okay? And there's a gamma 5 in front because I make it, make all operators transform the same under parity. Here, the minus sign, this part here, is just to make the isospin spin zero. Okay. And then the O2 is a variant of O1 by swapping these two kinds, C and E. Okay. So that means in this case, the nucleon is not car singular, and the kaon also not car singular. Okay. And O3 is a dipole-dipole anti-quark operator. In fact, this three operators are all the operators so far has been tried, used in lattice QCD calculation. Okay. So
I see. So nobody splitting them apart.
Not yet. Okay, will be.
In fact, this is maybe the problem because exactly the statement that it has a very low width means. These quarks, when they are of the same place, can be very easily rearranged to a KM.
Yeah.
If they are apart, then exactly this could explain
the width.
The small width.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah.
Okay. But isn't that argument that I'm in the reverse meaning that the chances for an overlap are very small?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, if the experiment then we're getting the first piece of information about the table. The table was inconclusive.
For this 3x3 correlation matrix, okay, I compute this and then do the diagonalization and then get the eigenvalue. From the eigenvalue, do the single exponential fit to get the masses. So now I briefly outline the computation of top propagators. Okay. For the pentagon variant correlator, it can be evaluated in terms of top propagators, of course. Yeah. But there are many terms. In lattice QCD, the exact Cauchy image, top propagator is in this form, okay, DC plus MQ inverse. And this is exactly Cauchy symmetric for any finite lattice space. And in the continuum limit, the quark propagator becomes the continuum quark propagator. Okay? For optical domain Morph fermion with NS plus 2 size in the fifth dimension, so S equal to 0 is the quark field, and S equal to NS plus 1 is the a Q bar, okay? And then from the Q and from the psi and psi here, I can construct the Q and Q bar, okay? So the DC is 2M0 plus 1 plus times 1 plus gamma 5 S over 1 minus gamma 5 S. Here, the DW is the Lucent operator with a negative parameter. And HW is gamma 5 TW. And then the TS is the transform matrix, okay, between the different sizes. Okay. And then S is in this form. Okay. And in the limit, when NS goes to infinity, S becomes the psi function of HW. And that means, implies it's exactly Cauchy symmetric. This is exactly Cauchy symmetric. Okay. The question is, when NS is finite, then is it possible to construct this S such that the deviation of S and the psi function is minimal? Okay. The answer to this question is if the omega s, okay, is the weight specified by this exact formula, then the deviation is the difference between the sh and the exact psi function is minimal. Okay, this is a mathematical statement. Okay, because if I use this omega s, okay, s n is the Jacobian elliptic psi function, okay, and then s will become the solitary optimal rational approximation of this psi function. Okay, so this is a mathematically rigorous statement. So the optimal domain of Fermi, you can regard it as a five-dimensional formulation of solitary optimal rational approximation of four-dimensional overlap. So I've seen to compute the quark propagator. The quark propagator can be expressed in terms of this D inverse. And then D inverse can be solved by, obtained by solving this system with Nestor quantum gradient, as first pointed out by Herbert. Yeah. And this turns out to be very, I think it's a very highly efficient, okay? If the inner quantum gradient loop is iterated with Rodriguez's double pass algorithm, yeah, I think this algorithm has not been fully exploited by the lattice community. We generate 100 gauge configuration with fusion gauge action at beta 6.1 on the 20 cube times 40 lattice. And then fixing M0 is 1.3, and we project 16 low diameter moves of each RV. Okay. And then fix the omega s with the lambda minimum and lambda maximum 6.3, okay. And for NS 128, okay, that means the fifth dimension have 128 sites, okay.
This is a pretty small lattice.
Really?
20 in beta 6.1.
This is about 1.8 Fermi cube, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's got five quarks in there.
Well, yes, I think it's good enough.
And he's
positive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I think
it was
direction.
No, it's just physics, the physical size, okay. But I think the pentacle is, even though five poles, okay, their size is not big. Okay, that's my
well, if it's narrow, opinion. It better be big. Otherwise, they can't understand it.
Well,
I mean, the only way it can be narrow is that if bits of it stay away from other bits of it, so they can't get to decay into the open channel.
Well, if there's some, I mean, forbidden, okay, say quantum number forbid this transition, okay, then it doesn't matter how close it is. Okay.
Well, it's careful quantum number. I mean, Chris is making the opposite argument. There's not such a quantum number. So you make it narrow by
That's true. In general.
It takes a long time to rearrange it to KM.
There's a whole history that people have forgotten called baryonium. Who's old enough to remember baryonium? Hold their hands up. I mean, this was so
long,
Mike. People are these days. People old enough. People used hidden color. They said somehow you could have things where the color was rearranged differently, and these things would explain the narrow spikes experimentally. There was a whole industry of that about 30 years ago, and the whole thing collapsed because the theory was wrong and the experiments were wrong. I'm not making predictions that it might happen again, but that's why.
You're making bets.
I have
a simple question.
Yeah.
The Skirvin model, do you see a difference between the size of the proton and the size of the pentaquark?
The size?
You know, it's a solidon. It has a classical solution, so it has.
Oh, he has an answer.
Okay. So in the current solid model, the optimal tetrahedral polygon, in which they predicted the existence of the state, they employ a rigid rotating approximation. Mm-hmm. So they don't explicitly construct. They've imposed it by fiat. Now, in another paper, which is actually fine.
I'll ask you afterwards.
We can discuss that. We actually didn't find the state.
Oh, you didn't find the state at all?
Yeah.
So I think that makes the question
that
of
must
size.
Be right.
But I'm not convinced that our top equation is necessarily complete.
No,
it doesn't
work.
Okay. Yeah, in fact, I'm doing the computation of a larger lattice, say 24 cubed times 48. Okay, so it's much larger.
Same beta.
Yeah, much better.
Same beta, yes.
Yeah.
But I remember that just the proton, you know, the simple baryons having significant finite volume effects once you get down to about this size. Isn't that true?
No. I got the proton very, very well.
Well, yeah. Very well meaning what?
I put the proton mass first m pi square and then extrapolate it and then get pi good result.
But why should it? Doesn't necessarily have to agree with an experiment, right? It's a squint.
Well.
So that's not really a check.
Yeah, not a real check. You think that there's an intention that is very large, okay? Then there's not a. Yeah,
put it another way, you know there's going to be a kaon and a nucleon in there because you have those operators. Mm-hmm. And you'd like there to be a little bit of room for a kaon and a nucleon. And we don't think you've even got enough room for a nucleon, let alone a kaon.
I do not quite agree with that because if you look at the data, you can see, okay,
You could do this, but you know, it would be better if you could do it in a different way.
Of course, but we are constrained by the computer time, okay?
Well, the resources.
More or less claim to have looked at the scattering state, so this must have been involved in looking at the K and the
I will come to the KN scattering states. So for each configuration, I compute two sets of point-to-point propagators. One set is periodic in time, another set is anti-periodic in time. Okay. And for 34 masses, in the range 0.03 to 0.8. Okay. And with the stopping criteria, 10 to minus 11 and 2 times 10 to minus 12 for the outer and inner contiguration group. Then the chaos symmetry breaking due to finite NS 128 is less than 10 to minus 14. And then the knot of the residual vector for each coil is less than 2 times 10 to minus 11. Okay. The propagators are computed with a Linux PC cluster with 100 nodes, and each node computes one coil for 30 quark masses all together. After the core propagator is computed, then we can determine the lattice spacing A. We measure the time correlation function, and then from that we fit to this form, and then get the z and the m pi, and then the z equal gives the pi on decay constant. And then this is the plot of the f pi versus m q. And then you can see the it's quite linear, okay, from to at this range, okay. And for the m pi square over m q, okay, and I fit this to the quench catalog form and then get the delta, this 0.187. And that is agrees with the delta from the topological susceptibility measurement by spectral flow. Yes. Okay. And then the A and B are the parameters. Okay. Then taking the F pi A at M2A0, okay, at this point here, okay, equal to the experimental value of F pi times A, then obtain the A inverse is 2.237 dV. And then A is about 0.088 from. So for the M, determine the MS. I compute the vector meson correlation function, and then extract the vector meson mass. Okay, here was the m pi. And let's see, there's some lower part. This small. Then this will appear.
Page. Back
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. So at MQA equal to point DO8, then I got the vector meson mass 1.4601, and this gives the mass is 1029. So this is agreed with the five meson mass. So I fixed the MS 0.08. There's no tuning, okay, because I just put in the mass there and then see which one is closest to the to the five mass, and then I fix the MS. Okay. Okay. So now I go to the mass spectrum of the free body collision regions. Okay. So for the positive priority, the lowest line stay, okay, with MQA equal to 0.1. And then you can see, okay, this is the, yeah, eigenvalue, the log of A, okay? And then the effective mass plot corresponding, effective mass plot. And you can see there's a tattoo, okay? Yeah, from 9 to 15, okay?
So and then, is this a pentacore?
Yeah, that's a pentacore. That's a 3x3 correlation matrix, okay? Remember the O1, O2, and O3, okay? Yeah.
What do you mean by the lowest line set? Did you mean variational principle from t to t plus 1 many, many times? Is that what you're plotting? Or you do it once from 0 to 1 and then follow it out? I don't understand which you're plotting.
This is t?
Yeah.
This is the t is the eigenvalue from obtained from the 3x3 correlation matrix.
Yeah. Which correlation matrix do the diagonalize?
Yeah, diagonalize. And then the eigenvalue.
From which t value to which t value?
From all the t values.
No, take the t1 and t2, right?
Well, yeah.
Which is T1, which is how much is T1, how much is T2?
I tried the different T0, okay, with the T0, okay, T0, and then
what is body there? Just tell us that on the left.
This is the 3x3 correlation matrix.
Yeah, but and then which T value to which
T value? Can you write the formula?
Just tell me which T values from which T value to which T value you use, that's all.
No, I did not normalize it.
No, you didn't.
I did not normalize.
So you have an O I at T1,
yeah,
correlated
yeah
with O
yeah
at T2.
Zero.
This is the T.
Zero and T.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, zero and T. Yes.
All right, so one is zero and
yeah
the other is T.
Yeah.
And
okay
the zero you keep fixed.
Fixed.
No. That, because now you have to do something with this CIJ, which is a matrix, right?
Yeah, that's a matrix.
That's a matrix.
And then I diagonalize this.
That's not the variation matrix. The variation matrix is to diagonalize two adjacent T values.
Yeah, that's
what I'm asking. Right?
Yeah, adjacent.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, adjacent is
one. Yeah. Okay, I understand.
Okay. Adjacent is I try that the values is more or less the same. I mean the mass I get. Okay. Okay.
Oh, you did
also. Yeah, I also did that. Yes.
Okay.
Compatible numbers. Okay. And also I try different TCO, the normalization. Say the C. This I modify the fix a TCO. Okay. And mm-hmm then take the inverse square root of that, and then modify it, and then diagonalize that, and also consistent. Yeah, no. Yeah, usually this. This is modified the C at the previous time step inverse,
yeah,
and then
yeah
do
this
the diagonalization.
This is not the variational ansatz. I mean, this is diagonalizing the correlation, which has no theoretical basis. So, in fact, always agrees for the ground state, but not for the excited state.
You think so?
Yes.
But
there's no theoretical basis for this. This is not. I mean, looking for eigenstates of the transfer matrix. This is eigenstates of the correlation. Well, that's a different piece.
Well,
the
plasma
might be full. Well, if it's a transfer decay, then I don't see why it's not the, I mean, two methods would be the same.
But you did try.
Yeah, I did try that.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a variant of the variational method. Okay, and then I extract the patchou here. This is a single exponential fit. Okay. Yeah. and for the negative charge, okay, for the lowest line state, okay, and then this per 2 is from about 12 to 18. Okay, and for the first excited state, okay, and you can see the per 2 is it's not extended further, okay, it's shorter, okay. As say 8 to 14, and then also can have an exponential.
So you see the bound state for Bose parity?
Yeah, of course. Oh. Of course. Not the bound state, I don't know yet, okay? It's just the math, okay? We have to determine whether it's a bound state.
Oh, do you see the proto? Doesn't mean you're in a bound state.
Doesn't mean it's a bound state.
And how do you check whether it's a bound state?
Yeah, this I'm going to that, okay?
So Chris, you're saying this is the part which you think is less excited.
I think one could debate the optimum way to do it, and maybe it's equivalent. But I mean, if you say you checked, I would say is the right method is more theoretically grounded, and you get the same answer, and you get smaller errors this way, then maybe that's okay.
Yeah.
But normally, I mean, the problem being that the eigenstates are not orthogonal in the basis that you actually choose.
So
there's a difference between contravariant and covariant indices, and there's some subtleties
there. Right,
right. Yeah. And you get excited states, mix them in a different way to do it one way than the other way. And so you have to be a bit careful, that's all.
Yeah. So. I tried different fixed T0, okay, for the normalization.
This is not saying between T0.
Okay.
It's saying
the same time step. Yeah.
Each. And you shift.
Shift. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I also did that. I did that too. So this is the first excited state. And this is the first excited state of negative parity. Okay. And you can see, okay, this is a very large error. Okay, here. And this is the same no matter how I do it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So for the masses of the lowest line states, okay, this is the negative parity and this is positive parity. And you can see there's a sharp change here, okay? Yeah, for these small quark masses, okay? It has this region, okay? And then if I use these four small masses to do the extrapolation linear in m pi squared, then I got the 1562, okay? And for the negative parity state, okay, for these four small masses, okay, I got 1424, okay.
The excited states. Friend of the excited states match up with the break to the left.
Well, when? I don't get your point.
Do you have a point?
Where would the excited states with pi squared appear on that plot? And if you followed their trend, would they run into the straight line of lower than pi squared?
You see the negative parity excited state is you see there's the almost I didn't see any
right.
Proof, so I do not extract it. Okay.
The positive line.
Yeah. Even at large mass, okay, is also always very, very noisy, okay. So error is large, okay.
So you cannot do it.
Then for the positive parity, okay, I can do some of them, okay, but then when it comes down to small mass, okay, it just goes up. Okay.
Well, no, I mean, the thing is, this looks like the two lower bits of a level crossing, which I imagine.
Which level of crossing?
He analytically continues the lower half of the line and the upper half of the line, and he gets two lines which are crossing. That's what's happening in his mind.
Right.
And one
might be the pedagogue and the other might be the K1. Yeah, that's what you'd expect. Right.
And then that, you know what he said?
Yeah.
So one of them would be the two body state, the KN, and the other.
Yeah. So this is the KN.
The suggestion was about just the blue line alone.
Okay, just the blue line. Well, the blue line, then I'm going to see, okay? I'm going to see whether it's a scattering state, okay? So, yeah, the question is whether these are scattering states or resonance, okay? So, I consider this time correlation function, okay? This k to k, n to n, okay? And there's no exchange fault lines between these two guys, okay? And k is the k of the new, and n is the just the usual new q. And then the, this
there is no scattering.
Hmm? There's scattering because there's an exchange of muons.
Oh.
Yeah. This is not completely phi, okay? It's not phi, okay? It's a, and then average over the gauge field configurations.
I'm a bit confused what the inner angle brackets are averaging.
This is the F fermionic average. This fermionic, okay? Okay, so that means this is the quark propagator. This is the term, okay? In terms of quark propagators, yes.
If you actually wrote down the KN and the KN Newton, you'd have other contractions.
Right. Yeah, but I, no, fully away. All the, no contraction.
No quark exchange.
No quark exchanges. Yeah. So that means there's no inelastic, only elastic correlation. Oh, yeah.
Well, what's the scattering length in the KN? Nuclear nuclei, I know, is 12 terraforming.
Well, KN scattering thing, I think, is a very, it depends for ideal case, okay? For S rate, it's almost zero, okay? For the P rate, it's a experimental value, is about 0.08, okay? Fermi Q. Okay.
What's the motivation for only keeping some of the, that's not usual. Wicks theorem says you've got fermions, you bolt them together, end of story.
No, I want to see what is the energy level of coming up, what's the spectrum come out from this CN, okay? From this
that's not CKN. I mean, it's something else. It's CKN with some of the bits removed.
Well, what do you mean?
This is not a obviously it's quenched. Right? Even if it weren't quenched, it's still got, you create the quark.
Yeah, I'm looking for, say, what's the scattering state it could be, okay? What's the energy level of this KN scattering state?
It's not a scattering state because it doesn't have all the scatterings, so it's some.
You make an initial state, you have a k here and a k there.
And
you have a finite state which has a k and an n. And you let this guy evolve. But you have to let it go in any way he wants. That's the question.
Okay. Yeah, in this case, I'm just looking at this disconnected diagram, see if what's the and you could, because the usually the naive estimate would be, say, the energy of the k and the energy of the n as the estimate of the of it of this was the energy level of this kn scattering state.
How does this differ from the energy?
Yeah, that's I'm trying to see.
But if you do that for pi, you find this piece is only a small part of the other pieces. The other pieces are significant.
The other pieces, in fact, already taken care of by the another operator, okay? The O1, okay? O1, if you look at the O1, then it takes into account anything. Any exchange of quark lines, okay? You look at the O1. Wrong direction, yeah.
Well, if you go randomly, there's a square root of B.
Okay, O1, okay, is the KN, okay. So this is already what you want, right?
Yeah, in this other case, you've separated them.
Yeah,
which we were wanting in some respects, but now you've only done part of the job.
Okay, but anyway, all this spectrum, O1, O2, O3, and that CKN, all spectrum, I will show you, okay?
Including the cross term, so you've really got a four by four matrix.
Of course, term, I did not show you.
Okay, why don't you show us what you're doing?
I've got a one by one matrix.
So it's a four by four matrix in the block
sketch, right?
Now,
okay.
So you look at this, okay, this CKN, okay? Now, so for this one, you can see, okay, the negative part here, okay? It's almost the same as, the the one obtained from the 01, 02, 03, the feedback key correlation matrix. And here, again, the possibility is different, okay? And, yeah.
Can you overlay this?
I'll overlay again, okay, yeah. Later, okay. Now, if we compare to the naive estimate, okay, this just a one K and then a nucleon, okay, they are free particle, okay, and then the momentum P is a 2 power of L, okay. So this is the naive estimate of the S wave and the P wave of this KN scattering, okay, and you can see it's different, okay, yeah, but yeah, for the P wave, okay. And for the S wave, okay, it's almost the same as the MK plus MN. Okay. Yeah. If you extrapolate, okay, using the force mass mass, then you get almost the same answer. And now I overlay the KN scattering state obtained from the CKN, okay, and the lowest line states from the phi by phi correlation matrix. And you can see they're almost the same at large masses. But then, of course, it differs at the small form masses. Okay? And for the negative party, they are almost the same. Okay.
Now the so to say, KM states in a small box, could estimate also by Lusher's formula.
Yeah,
I remember correctly, there is a postdoc at Daisy. Coma, I think he did the Lusher formula for nucleons. So you could take, you know, because the original was done for pions, now you need it for baryon.
Yes,
but
yes.
I think this is in the literature. You can just take the experimental scattering waves, put it in some parametrized form, and then you get.
That's for S wave or P wave. I think it's only for the S wave. Okay, for the S wave, then this not too much difference. Okay, for P wave, I don't know. I still looking for if there's such a formula exists. Okay, for the P wave, I equal zero. Okay, in fact, I asked Chuan Liu. Okay, he told me he does not know any one of these formula explicitly. There's an implicitly in Lusher's formula. Yes.
So we just had a seminar by.
Okay.
This. Yeah, a couple of Japanese couple, Coma,
okay.
And I think they did this. Now I am not 100% sure.
Okay, yeah.
Which journal and so on. But
maybe you can tell me the reference.
This is
later.
A paper.
Mm-hmm.
Half a year.
Yes, I think so. Yes, yes, yes.
I see.
Paper
okay.
And there was some discrepancy with Lusher's, which was also told us. But but it is of course just a small thing. So I think there is something in the literature. You could just take this from.
Okay.
From experiment and from
okay.
this formula, and then you
okay.
could then compare it to your
okay.
what you get.
Okay.
Well, maybe
it's
the
but K-O-M-A, K-O-M-A.
It's comma and comma.
Comma, comma.
Okay. since I'm in the Quench approximation, okay, you may wonder whether there's any Quench artifacts, okay, because the quark propagators. Yeah. The quark propagators, okay, could looks like this, and then there's an eta pi here. Okay? So it's you may wonder whether this could be the NK eta pi as wave.
Before you take it off, why do your green points stop for the lightest two quark masses?
Because this is going up. I
well, you
I can't
it, you know, it shows the data.
Okay, I can plot it, but you see, this goes up and then doesn't
you should not plot it.
Because it doesn't, it's not reliable, okay? It's going up then, okay?
Yeah,
because
your
point's
going down and not reliable.
No, I can look at
it. You measure it, and you plot it, and it, you know.
Yeah, it's error, it's large error, you see.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Now, wait a minute before
yes.
you go. So, if I now take the square root of 0.2 properly, your lightest pion mass is about 400.
Yes.
400.
Yeah.
So, there's still a large, I mean,
yeah,
is it clearly the lowest pion mass you can do with your domain model? Can't you go lower?
I can lower it. Okay, but then the signal is smaller. Okay, the error become larger and larger. Okay, yeah. So it becomes not reliable. And I will not even see clearly the plateau. Okay. So it requires high statistic, I think. And also the quench artifact too.
As your quark mass gets lower, the fact you ignored pieces of what can happen between the K and the M gets to be more significant. So your green curve might be more and more unreliable. So it should get lighter.
Actually, yeah. Most of this, so to get the upper green curve, you have this K and N. But how do you, so what do? You put momentum into them? Is that how you separate it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just missing something.
No, I just, you see it here. That's it, okay?
There's
no momentum. This momentum, total momentum, zero.
That was just the excited state in this channel. Is that what it was?
Mm-hmm.
The second line, I mean, the higher data came from just filling this and picking out the exciting.
Yeah. There's only two states, positive priority, negative priority. That's it. So I also compare this to the Kn eta pi, okay? So the mass mk plus mn plus m pi. And then you see it's in this direction. So this gold state, okay, K and eta pi, does not seem to agree with the positive priority from data of this 3x3 correlation matrix. Okay, and also here this is a EKN, this is the naive estimate. Okay, just for reference. Okay,
see. Can you say it again? What is that line?
Which line is that? This line is just MK plus MN plus M pi. Okay, this the three masses add together because this is the S wave of this gold state. Okay, this is and D has a positive priority. Okay, so D could be a quench artifact. Okay, this is a so just try to see whether this is the quench artifact of this NK eta pi. Okay, so now this graph shows. It does not seem to the case because, it is not does not agree with the for all quark masses. Okay, and here you see the trend is also different.
You'd expect there to be some binding energy in that case. It's only to give you a guide. Don't worry.
Well, this is the air state. Okay.
Yeah, that's without binding. You just added the three energy.
Yeah, the binding energy. Sure. Yeah, you can estimate that too.
It's exactly in the.
But the binding energy, I do not expect the difference is so large. Okay.
But also in that case, when you have those hairpins, you don't expect a simple exponential form to fit to. But you did fit to a simple exponential.
Which form?
This
is the mass, just the mass add together. I don't fit anything. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
But were that an explanation, then it would not have been correct to fit to a simple exponential. But you did fit to a single exponential, so it's not a fair comparison. Because when you guys looked at the...
Steve, you're saying if the blue points were really K and A prime, then they were derived incorrectly because they were derived from an exponential fit instead of the appropriate sign change.
Right, you should see some evidence of a sign change or something in the correlation function, which...
No, I didn't see any sign changes of the from the correlation function, okay? Yeah, so... In fact, the mass, okay, is about 400, okay? And according to the other group, okay, Kankati group, okay, they say the NK eta pi occurs only below 300 MeV, okay? So it seems to me, okay, this blue points are different from the NK eta pi.
Right.
Yes.
It's okay to see the effective mass flow plots and the mass plots with respect to quark mass and how it But does he really say that this is mild state?
No, I haven't said that yet.
Okay. Table is to come.
Because this just tried to exclude this possibility, not the KN scattering state, not the NK eta pi.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
And not the naive estimate of this P wave.
Okay.
So, is this eta prime you measure this connectivity?
Yeah, the eta pi is the, eta pi is the prime. Just the prime mass. Okay.
Just added three masses together.
Add three masses together.
So it's pi.
This is the for O1, okay. This is the KN, okay. Okay, you can see, okay, the negative party, okay, get the almost the same mass as the MK plus MN. And then the first priority, the behavior of the first priority is different. Okay? For the O1, there's the KN, only the KN, and including all the quark exchanges. Okay?
It's the KN, why should there be that break?
Which break?
Well, I don't know. Maybe the way the red line is drawn
makes you feel like
there's a break, but even when I told it in my head, it seemed like the extrapolation of that red line.
Why
should any of the points to the right?
just use the four small point masses.
You're saying it looks like there's some sort of.
It looks like there's a break.
No, I don't think so. I don't think. But there's a change. The slope is changes.
Right,
okay.
The
slope. Yeah. But why should it be the same slope?
The slope either changes gradually or suddenly.
Yeah.
It's hard to.
Yeah.
You're saying in the other case there was a clear difference.
In the other place it looked more black. The slope change of the figure when it was in the blue line.
Okay. This for the O1, okay. Now let's look at the O2. Okay. And then you see the it's more or less the same as for the
But the lower one now looks more abrupt.
you can see, okay. Okay. The masses, they're almost the same, and also, you see, this is about 2300. Okay. Okay. And now if I look at the O3, okay, then you can see the negative priority is almost the same as the other two cases, O1 and O2. But then the post priority is different, quite different. Okay, there's changes. Okay, sharp changes at the small point masses. Okay, and it extrapolates to about 1800 MeV. Okay.
Look back and forth between the previous one and this one again.
Yeah. This is the O2, and this is the O1.
Given the size of the error bars, they're consistent, but you would claim that the error bars are very correlated between adjacent fire masses, I suppose.
And from one plot to the next.
So at first sight it's insignificant. I mean, presumably if you do a proper jackknife or bootstrap, it's significant.
And in this error bars, how did we get?
Yeah, this is from the jet life with single elimination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, original data, single elimination, and you carry out the
single elimination on the underlying gauges, I suppose.
On
the underlying gauge configuration.
From and then step one, you're doing the elimination.
What do you mean step one?
Well, you have a list of propagators labeled by the gauge field. One of them.
So this is a summary of the masses for the O1, O2, and O3, and from the P/P correlation measures. And you can see the negative priority state are in all cases almost the same. Okay. And for the positive priority, and you can see the O1 and O2, they are quite high, okay, compared to the O3. And then when doing the 3x3 correlation matrix, measurement, then it become lowest. Okay. So it seems to me the Dyckhoff Anticoff operator, yeah, has a if this is the Penckhoff state, then OV has a largest overlap with the Penckhoff. So, yeah, this is just a brief summary. Okay. Yeah. So I computed this PWP coefficient matrix of one over OV for PWPs, and also extract the masses of the lowest line space of positive negative priority. And for the negative priority, this spectrum is almost identical to the KNS wave, okay, measured by this KN disconnected operator, and also close to the MK plus NN for the entire range of the MU. Okay. And so it's identified with the KNS wave scattering state. Yeah, for the J, for the positive priority, okay, its mass spectrum is different from the KNP wave measured by the KN disconnect operator, and also different from the naive estimate of the KNP wave scattering state, and also different from the KN eta pi aspect ghost state. So, yeah, it seems to me the this state, okay, is not the scattering state, okay, but I think it's necessary to confirm this picture with different models, okay, because if it's a scattering state, then its mass and the spectral wind, they are warm dependent, okay, then one can really tell, okay, whether it is a scattering state or vessel-less. Okay. But however, if it's identified with this, because its mass is so close to the 1540, okay, yeah, if it's identified with the data, then it predicts the priority of data is positive. Of course, this sentence is too soon, okay. Now let me go back to the current status of the lattice data. Okay. For the first book, okay, of Ubertov, other people, yeah, a folder, okay, yeah, and the operator is a linear combination of O1 and O2, okay. In fact, they say they also use the 2x2 correlator, okay? And the smallest lattice spacing is 0.09, and the size is just 1.8 Fermi, okay? So it's small from it's from your point of view, okay? Yeah. So the smallest pi mass is 4.20, okay? Yeah. And they use the Wilson gauge action, and the clock is also Wilson Fermi. Okay. And they think they see the signal, and it's a negative priority. Okay. Yeah. But if you look at the quark masses they get, okay, this negative priority, they say it's a resonance, okay, and for the positive priority, okay, and it's really high, okay, 2700. But they only have three quark masses less than the strange quark mass. Okay. So because this O1 and O2 has little overlap with the Penckhoff, so it's very likely, okay, they would get a large mass for the positive priority. Okay. In fact, this results consistent with my O1 and O2, okay? Let me come to the, okay? Yeah, so the second one is by Sasaki, and he used the Dyckhoff Anticoff operator, and he claimed to see the signal, and with priority negative, okay? But the smallest pi mass he used, he has is 650 MeV. Okay, it's rather large. Okay. And you look at the masses here. Okay. It's, for the negative priority, it's 1840. Okay. And for the first part is 2940. But here it's only one mass point less than strange quark mass. So that means, yeah, it's very likely the Kao extrapolation would get inaccurate masses, okay, for especially for the positive Kao peak. Okay. So even though he has the Dakot-Dakot anti-quark operator, but maybe there's not too many masses points with the small enough quark masses in order to get the Kao extrapolation down to the down to the small, get the small masses. Okay. And for the reference speed, okay, the Taipei book, okay, we have 10 mass response, okay, less than MS, okay, and then, yeah. And for the fourth is Kentucky book, okay. Yeah, they claim they do not see any signal because they test on two different borons, okay, 2.4 Fermi and 3.2 Fermi. But their outer space is very large, 0.2. Okay? They have the prime mass is very small, okay? And they use the Iwasaki action and the overlap Fermi.
And this could be correlated because the Iwasaki action has a property that makes the gauge field smooth.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, you can go much more easily to small quark masses.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true. I think the reason they do not see the signal is because they use the O1, which has little overlap with the pentaquark state. Okay, because it's more or less just the KN scattering. Yeah. So okay. And the fifth book, okay, is by Ishii, this book from the Tokyo Institute of Technology. They use fusion fermion and they use gauge action, but they use the anisotropic lattice. Okay, so their lattice is not too large, and the lattice spacing is very large, 1.8, and the pi mass is very high, 656. And if you look at the number of mass points, they have less than strange quark mass is zero, okay? Because they small quark up quark mass is equal to the strange quark mass, okay? So that's reason they extrapolate, they get a very high mass, okay, for the positive priority, 2250. And for the negative priority, they test it to be a scattering state, they use the different boundary condition for different quark favors, so that it shifts up the energy. Okay, so they conclude, okay, that it's a scattering state for the negative priorities. But for the positive priority, they did not test it because the boundary condition, the high boundary condition, does not work too well for the positive priority. But since they get the very high mass, okay, 2200. Then they say, okay, it could not be the data. Okay. But if they go to a small mass point, they might end up having the small mass for the positive priority. Okay. So you see, all this data seems to be consistent. Okay, and even though they come, they end up with different conclusions. Okay, so I think at this moment,
We need more work.
Yes. I think lattice QTD will give a definite answer to the question whether there's a signal of pentaquark from lattice QTD. But we need more work and more time, more resources. So in fact, we are not doing so bad. Okay, but the outside world, okay, the experimentalists, okay, and other theorists, they do not quite look at the data, and then what they only see is these two columns, okay, and then they conclude, okay, not the QCD results not reliable, not trustworthy. Okay, that the specific cannot give any prediction to the data. Okay, I think this is completely wrong. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, that's it.
Yes. So, I mean, more so than the mass is what you were alluding to before, and Chris was harping on it all the time. The real question is whether there is a bound state or not. And you didn't give any kind of a quantitative measure whether you think this is a bound state or not.
Yeah, I think...
You seem to assume that one of these was going to be the scattering state, and by elimination, the other was a bound state. And since it was more persuasive that the negative parity one was a scattering state, you concluded that the positive parity one was the bound state. But... if you want to say something that is definitive, you ought to be saying soon, I believe with certain confidence, that there is a bound state or that there is not a bound state, because the experimental situation will be resolved soon, because these... The crappy experiments have higher statistics, and there might be something in a
production. Can I add to that? I mean, I'm, again, sufficiently old that I remember the experiments. The KN phase shifts are actually measured experimentally.
Yeah.
So we know that there is an attractive interaction in these channels. We know actually there's a small bump in the cross section. It used to have a name and be called a resonance when I was a boy, but people stopped putting it in the tables anymore. It's called a Z actually, but Z is now used for something else. So we know there is a positive attraction between the kaon and the nucleon in the rather nice spin channel. That's not in doubt. What is surprising is that there are experimental evidence for a narrow state. That is to say, the phase shift, instead of just slowly increasing to 90 degrees, whizzes around rapidly, and there is a narrow state. That is the completely incomprehensible thing in the data. And that is the only thing that Lattice should be addressing. And to address that, you have to address the issue of the width of the state.
Yes.
Anything else, in my opinion, is not addressing the question, because we already know the answer. Experimentally, there is. The phase shifts are measured. They're measured actually every 40 MeV, so things got to whiz around in the middle, in between where they're measured, in order to not disagree with the old data. That's known. So the only thing to focus on is there a narrow state? And first of all, I would say quenched is possibly not the right thing to use.
I agree.
And secondly, one really wants to address the issue of the narrowness of the state. And it's, to my mind, inconceivable that there is such a narrow state in QCD, unless there is some feature that is a complete mystery, and I would like to know about it. And Lattice ought to be able to make that substantial. I would like to see it happen.
Yeah, I think it's very difficult for Lattice QCD to determine the width, to measure the width with such a narrow width, say.
No, but we can exclude it.
Maybe this is a crazy idea, but the old calculation that Weingarten did, where you calculate the coupling between the bound state, the supposed bound state, and the K in the end.
Yeah.
So that's why I was pushing yesterday. It's the same calculation.
Yeah.
I mean, that is feasible, and everyone who comes anywhere near me, I urge them to do that calculation.
Let's see.
For example, this business about the, if you look at the ITER and the I don't know the old name for it, the S11530, the thing that goes into an ITER, that 1/2 minus state. That state on a lattice comes out as a disaster quench because it decays to an ether and it's got a correlator that goes positive and then goes negative definite, right? I mean, you just can't analyze that state quenched because it's like the anode. I mean, this thing that Espy knows all about.
I'm naive. I just thought if it's really narrow and if it's true, then it's okay to analyze it quenched, and then
you
could get consistency with it.
Well, in some sense, if it's very narrow, it has a small coupling to Kn, so it's in a little world on its own. And so maybe, if there's a world where it's really, there is a diquark here and a diquark very far apart, and they have very little overlap to the rest, and you can really make that on the lattice, you may be right.
Yeah.
You need to have a good operator.
You need to have a good operator, a big box.
Yeah,
big
it's good. If everybody is right, actually, and also please write them in the sense that it could be answered.
Mm-hmm. Certainly the large volume. I think the large volume is
large volume.
Well, he was asking you for contributions.
Well,
Well, I won't say don't use overlap, but it's not so compelling to me to use overlap rather than a large volume at this stage. I mean,
especially you did not in fact go to that like book. So you're not really using this the power of the overlap as you had argued earlier.
Right. That was an investment. Yeah. You have an investment overlap. You want to use them, right?
Yeah, because in this case, yeah, this is served not just for the panel clock, it also served for other areas, including car blocks.
If you have something in-house, you use it, right?
Yeah.
But there is no sort of parallel extrapolation reason for you to be worried about what kind of problems you're doing. Or is there?
I would think for the overlap, okay, it goes more smooth. Okay, to in the small clock masses to the extrapolate to the car limit, it's more smooth. But for other fermions, it might change suddenly at the small clock masses.
But this is all something to be determined by pi and L. There's no physics a priori reason to say that in this case the pion cloud is more important to be collected.
Unless you understand what a chiral soliton model is.
I would think, yeah, in this case, the dichot correlation of certainties is only work for dichot. Okay? So if you can keep the Kao's image better, then it's easier to capture the dichot correlation. If you use Newton fermion or then it might not be so easy when you get to small quantum.
And within this dipole picture, what is, I don't know, is there a reason you want to sort us out?
I just wanted to know how much longer you're going to be, because I have to set up the room for the board meeting tomorrow.
Oh, no, we'll be done in 5 minutes.
Okay, great,
is that
thanks.
Okay? Should I come and over to your office? I can come over to your office.
Yeah, did anyone see a jacket? Someone left a jacket in here. They were looking for
Okay. There's one here. Is there anyone playing this?
That's it. Thank you.
So that was a very fruitful. So is there a when this the Jaffe and Rochet or people who like dipoles, do they say why it's important to be close to the Kao limit to make them?
This dipole argument is purely dualic, right? It's based on the one dual.
But then there's a factor in front, okay? The factor may suppress when the quark mass is go to large. Yeah. So it's for sure when we go to high quark mass, there's no dipole correlation, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But I may have, I wasn't. So you have some physics reason for why dipoles are more likely to be a little than approximate degree of freedom if they're made out of light quarks than heavy.
Well, yeah. There's no, I don't think anyone has a...
No, I'm just asking you to quote somebody. You know. I don't know this. You don't know. Anybody?
Well, dipole is an old idea. I mean, a lot of people using it.
Yeah, but there is this very nice review of Jaffe, which explains a large amount of deviations, so things that you are sort of hard to get from the ordinary quark model, right?
Mm-hmm.
Assuming that they are dipoles. And they ask whether somebody in that review, there is also a statement, a physics picture for why. This is sort of something that wouldn't have happened in a hypothetical world in which all the dipoles are highly
ionized. Dipole is favorable also by the instanton liquid picture. That's
The instantons are more effective. Oh, that's maybe something. Okay. So light quarks are much more sensitive to instantons. So if you believe that instantons are responsible for the sort of thing that keeps the dipoles together, then you will believe also that it's more likely.
So
that's not that.